If you close your eyes and picture a watercolor painting, you probably see like a pale blue, peaceful little landscape.
Right, yeah, like a gentle tree line or a quiet river, something really soothing.
Exactly, something safe.
Okay.
But today, we're looking at a watercolor that is, frankly, an absolute bloodbath of
Oh,
physics.
totally. It is a violent collision.
Yeah, it's this collision between raw, urgent emotion and like brutal mathematical engineering. And the crazy part is, it's masquerading as a beautiful picture of a whale.
It really is. It just completely shatters that entire expectation of watercolor being this fragile, ethereal medium. You look at it and you immediately feel the physical weight of what the artist is doing.
So welcome to today's deep dive. We are unpacking a truly monumental artwork titled Gran Salto, which translates to Great Jump.
Created in June of 2024.
Yes, by the artist Jairo Duque. And our mission today is to decode this specific image. We want to figure out if this is primarily an urgent ecological manifesto or if it's actually just a triumph of formal technical mechanics.
Well, and ultimately, we want to show you how those two completely different lenses, the heart and the math combine to create an image that just gets permanently stuck in your head.
Because if you just walk past it in a gallery and think, oh, nice whale, you are entirely missing the underlying architecture.
Right. You're missing why the painting actually makes you feel that profound sense of awe.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We have to start with the artist's personal connection to the subject, which is really the actual heartbeat of the piece.
Yeah, Duke painted this in his daily sanctuary, which is his studio in Whittier, California.
Right, but I mean, if you are listening to this and thinking, okay, a painting of a whale, we've all seen a million Save the Whales posters. I completely get it.
Oh, for sure.
I had the exact same thought. It is so easy for ecological art to feel, cliche or just kind of preachy.
It really is. But what elevates this above a generic poster is the specific narrative here. It's a narrative of defiance.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, he's not just painting an animal to say, look at the pretty animal. He is painting this enigmatic ancestral creature in a moment of extreme physical rebellion. The entire narrative arc of the piece is about defying gravity.
Defying gravity. Walk me through that. Because on
Yes.
the surface, a jump is just a jump.
Well, think about the kinetic reality of a whale breaching.
Right.
We are talking about an animal that can weigh 40 tons, right?
Yeah, huge.
And it's surrounded by the heavy, oppressive density of the ocean. I mean, water creates immense drag.
Right, it's not like jumping through air.
Exactly. For that creature to break the surface, to literally launch its massive body into the thin air, it requires this explosive, almost unimaginable exertion of biological energy.
Wow. Yeah, it is a supreme struggle against physical inertia.
It is. So the physical energy of the whale leaving the water is it's acting as a stand-in for a different kind of struggle.
Oh, I see. So it operates as a metaphorical leap against the inertia of human apathy.
You hit the nail on the head. We live in a world that is often completely blind to nature, just stuck in its own destructive gravity, so to speak.
Right.
The whale's movement here isn't just biological, it's presented as an intrinsic act of freedom.
Yeah.
It's this silent, massive call for environmental preservation.
It's using the sheer, awe-inspiring, kinetic effort of this animal to make you feel the weight of what we stand to lose
Yeah.
rather than just shouting statistics at you.
And that concept of weight is actually the perfect pivot point here.
Hopefully.
Because feeling the emotional weight of a whale struggle is great in theory, but how do you actually physically convey the mass of a multi-ton titan on a flat, two-dimensional piece of paper?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that requires pure engineering.
Exactly.
Right, which brings us to the design. And I struggle with this a bit because conveying such a massive philosophical concept requires an equally massive visual presence,
Yeah,
right?
it does.
So how does he actually pull that off? I mean, visually.
Through incredibly strict formal geometry, the composition of Gran Salto relies on a very clear, deliberate diagonal axis.
A diagonal axis.
Yeah, it physically drags your eye from the chaotic, turbulent base of the water, where the whale is breaking the surface, straight up the sweeping curve of the cetacean's body.
Okay, I see the diagonal, sure, but I don't completely buy that a slanted line automatically makes something feel heavy.
Well,
Isn't that just a standard composition trick to make a picture look dynamic?
it's not just a line to make it look nice, though. It's about creating what art theorists call Vital dynamism.
Vital dynamism. Okay, explain that.
When your eye is forced to travel upward across a massive dark shape, your brain subconsciously registers the effort of that visual climb.
Wait, really?
Yeah. You literally feel the weight of the animal because your eye has to work against gravity to take it all in.
Okay, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You're forcing the viewer's brain to mimic the upward effort of the animal.
Exactly. But there's another geometric trick at play here, too, and it has to do with the horizon line.
Right, the horizon line is kept incredibly low. But,
right.
You know, dropping a horizon line to make something look big is kind of photography 101.
Sure, yeah.
You shoot from a low angle to make the subject look towering. Does just lowering the horizon really elevate this to a masterpiece?
If it were the only trick he used, maybe not. But think about the psychology of that geometry.
Okay.
By dropping the horizon down to the very bottom quarter of the paper, Duke opens up an enormous expanse of sky. It forces the viewer into a submissive posture.
Oh, I get it. Your brain interprets that low horizon as if you are physically treading water.
Yes. You're treading water, looking up at this towering mountain of muscle. It creates a believable three-dimensional space that gives the massive animal room to breathe.
And it's not just empty sky either. There's this one detail that I find completely brilliant.
The birds.
Yes. Up in that warm sky, which is painted in these soft pinks and ochres, there are these tiny birds scattered near the top edge.
It's the poetic counterpoint of scale.
Exactly, the counterpoint. Because without the birds, the whale is just a big, dark shape. But you drop in these little recognizable specks, and suddenly the brain does the math.
The scale just explodes.
Right. The whale isn't just large, it's a geographical feature. It's literally a mountain bursting out of the sea.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's all about engineering visual tension.
How do you mean?
You have the dark, heavy, imposing mass of the whale, which grounds the image in physical weight, pushing up against the light, warm, airy expanse of the sky.
Ah, contrast.
Yeah. The low horizon and the tiny birds are the mathematical tools that scale this creature up into a true titan demanding our respect.
Okay, so we have this massive, heavy, dynamic titan. But here is the wild part for me. To support all this visual weight, Duke is using watercolor.
Right.
A medium we just established is historically delicate and translucent.
This is where we run into the brutal physics of the medium. It's a complete paradox.
It really is. To pull this off, the physical materials had to be pushed to their absolute breaking point. Let's talk about the paper itself, because the specs on this are wild.
They really are.
The artwork is a 22 by 15 inch format, and it is painted on 640 gram cold-pressed Arches paper.
Which, you know, to most people listening, probably just sounds like a random paperweight. But in the watercolor world, that is an extreme material choice.
Just to give you an idea of how extreme standard watercolor paper, the kind you might buy at an art store that already feels pretty stiff, is usually about 300 grams.
Yeah, it's like a heavy cardstock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this 640-gram paper, you can't even fold it. It's not like a thicker piece of paper. It behaves more like a highly absorbent brick.
It is a structural necessity, though. When we talk about how Duke paints, he is essentially flooding the surface.
Right.
If you use standard paper and dump liters of water on it, the internal fibers of the paper will warp, buckle, and completely destroy the illusion of the painting.
You just curl up into a tube.
Basically, yeah. So the 640-gram paper is this dense matrix capable of absorbing massive amounts of liquid while remaining rigidly, perfectly flat.
So he's flooding this thick brick of paper with water. But it's not just tap water, obviously. He specifically uses Daniel Smith watercolor paints.
Oh, yeah.
And these aren't your typical synthetic dyes you find in, like, cheap beginner palettes.
No, not at all. They are mineral-based paints. They contain actual ground-up minerals like lapis lazuli, hematite, or amethyst.
Actual rocks.
Literally rocks. And this is where the physical engineering gets truly fascinating. Because when you mix heavy minerals with lots of water on deeply grooved paper, you trigger a microecosystem of fluid dynamics.
I actually want to dig into that.
Okay.
Because we hear the term granulation thrown around in art a lot.
Sure.
And I was assumed it just meant the paint dries a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a whole organic process happening on that paper, isn't there?
Absolutely. Think about the timeline of a brushstroke here. Duke floods a section of the paper with water and this mineral-heavy pigment. Because the pigments are actual rocks, they have significant mass. As the water sits in the deep valleys of the cold-pressed paper, physical gravity begins pulling the heavy mineral particles down out of the fluid suspension.
So the paint is literally settling into the texture of the paper while it's still wet.
Exactly. And as the water slowly evaporates in his Whittier studio, it leaves behind a fossilized record of where those minerals settled.
Oh, that's wild.
It creates a gritty, unpredictable, earthy texture. It's not a uniform wash of color. It's an organic reaction dictated by humidity, evaporation time, and mineral weight.
And the mind-blowing part is that this microscopic physical process perfectly imitates the macroscopic biology of the whale.
Yes.
The rough, scarred, barnacled texture of a multi-ton animal's skin is being recreated organically by the physics of the paint. It's brilliant.
It really is.
But amidst all this chaotic flooding and settling of heavy minerals, I was looking closely at the artwork, specifically at the crashing water at the base of the jump. Yeah, there is this brilliant, explosive white foam. And I initially assumed he just waited for it to dry and then went in with a thick white acrylic paint to do the splash.
A lot of artists would do that.
Right. But that's not what's happening here, is it?
Not at all. And that brings us to the concept of the reserves of light. This is where Duke's technical mastery is fully exposed.
Okay, what does that mean?
In pure watercolor tradition, there is no white paint.
Wait, really?
None. The white you see is the pristine, untouched paper itself.
Hold on. So while you are flooding this absorbent board with liters of dark, mineral-heavy water, you have to somehow keep those specific splash areas completely dry.
It is the ultimate high wire act. You are managing the spread of the fluid, letting the dark, heavy pigments organically expand right up to the exact microscopic edge of where the white foam needs to be and stopping it there.
That sounds impossible.
You are literally fighting the capillary action of the water. If that dark wash bleeds just a fraction of an inch into your reserve of light, the bright, explosive contrast of the splash is gone forever.
And you can't just fix it.
No, you cannot erase it. You cannot paint over it. The paper is permanently stained.
That sounds incredibly stressful. And here's where it gets really interesting. Because you'd think after pulling off a high wire act like that, an artist would be satisfied.
Oh, but not Duke.
No. Duke actually critiqued his own work. He noted that he wants to refine the atmospheric transition between the animal's body and the background to make it even more subtle in the future.
Which tells you exactly how his brain works.
Right.
If Duke were only concerned with the raw, emotional scream of an ecological manifesto, a microscopic detail about how a millimeter of paint diffuses at the edge of the whale wouldn't even register. The emotion of the leap is already there.
But the fact that he is agonizing over the subtle diffusion of an edge proves he's deeply obsessed with structural control. He's constantly looking to tighten the bolts on his composition.
He is a technical engineer at his core.
But, you know, this actually brings up a huge question for me, and maybe you're listening and wondering the exact same thing.
What's that?
If you are entirely focused on fluid dynamics, paper absorbency, and the math of a low horizon line, doesn't that technical obsession kill the soul of the painting?
It's a risk, yeah.
Do you lose that urgent ecological heartbeat we talked about at the very beginning?
It's a very valid concern, but I would argue that the technique here actually serves the emotion. It doesn't distract from it.
How so?
Well, the key to understanding why is Duke's deliberate rejection of what we might call encyclopedia-style hyperrealism.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Because he definitely isn't painting every single barnacle and wrinkle like a scientific textbook illustration.
Exactly. Think of it this way. Compare a photorealistic painter to a court stenographer.
A court stenographer, okay.
A stenographer records every single word, every stutter, every detail with perfect mechanical accuracy, right?
Right.
But there is zero emotion in a court transcript. It's completely clinical.
That makes total sense.
Duke is operating like a poet instead. He isn't interested in recording every biological detail. He omits the unnecessary scientific information so he can capture the pure, raw feeling of the moment.
There is a quote from Duke that perfectly encapsulates that. He says, color does not describe, it suggests. Form does not explain, it affirms.
Color does not describe, it suggests. That is a profound distinction for an artist to make.
It really is. I mean, he isn't mixing color to clinically match the exact biological shade of a humpback whale.
Right.
He is using heavy pigments to suggest the freezing coldness of the deep ocean, the sudden warmth of the sun hitting the wet skin, the sheer violence of the water displacement.
Yes.
And the form doesn't scientifically explain the anatomy of a flipper. It affirms the undeniable, overwhelming presence of a living giant.
This is where we get into a concept called the verisimilitude of the gesture.
Okay, break that down for me in plain English, because that sounds like some heavy art school jargon.
Fair enough, fair enough. It's really about the honesty and speed of the physical brushstroke itself. If you want to paint a violent splash of water, and you sit there, very slowly and carefully rendering every drop with a tiny brush, it's gonna look dead. It will look like frozen plastic.
Because the creation of it lacked energy.
Exactly. But if you literally slash the brush across the paper, allowing the water and pigment to crash into each other organically, your brain registers the speed of the artist's arm.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It translates the violence of the brushstroke into the kinetic energy of the water. The gesture itself holds truth.
So the action of painting mirrors the action of the subject.
Yes, that honest, rapid mark transfers the artist's urgent commitment to life directly into the viewer's nervous system.
And that approach is what allows this artwork to function on such a grand scale. Because we have to talk about the physical reality of seeing this in person.
Oh, absolutely.
This piece was exhibited at the Casa del Arte in Palma de Mallorca. Imagine walking into a massive gallery space like that.
When you are in a large exhibition hall, an artwork has to command the room. You can't rely on tiny details to grab someone's attention.
Right, from far away, you can't see the little barnacles anyway.
Exactly. Gran Salto has this massive structural skeleton. The low horizon, the aggressive diagonal thrust, the stark contrast of the unpainted white paper against the dark minerals.
Yeah.
That underlying math is what allows the image to reach out and grab you from 15 meters away.
So from across the room, the physics and the geometry do all the heavy lifting. They pull you in.
But as you walk closer, closing that 15-meter gap,
the experience completely shifts.
Yeah.
Because the people standing in that gallery in Palma de Mallorca aren't doing math in their heads.
No, definitely not.
They aren't calculating the golden ratio of the horizon line, and they certainly aren't pondering the evaporation rate of mineral pigments on 640-gram paper.
No, the technical skeleton just vanishes beneath the surface.
Right. Because the artist sacrificed that rigid court stenographer realism for maximum energy, the audience simply feels the impact.
They feel it before they understand it.
Exactly. They feel the overwhelming beauty and the raw emotion of a 40-ton giant breaking the boundary between water and air. The technique is flawless, but it intentionally gets out of its own way so the emotion can hit you directly in the chest.
It creates a visceral response before your brain even has time to process what you are looking at.
So, what does this all mean? We started this deep dive by asking if Gran Salto is an emotional ecological manifesto or a cold, calculated marvel of physics.
Right.
And after unpacking the mechanics of it all, I think the conclusion is undeniably that they are two sides of the exact same coin.
You really cannot separate the two. The rigor of the form is what validates the depth of the emotion.
It really does. I mean, the heavy physical battle that Chiara Duque fights in that Whittier studio, wrestling with this massive brick of paper, flooding it with liters of water, fighting the capillary action to save the reserves of light, and controlling the chaos of sinking minerals.
It's exhausting just thinking about it.
It is. But that brutal physical struggle is what gives the ecological message its real-world weight. If the technique were just easy, delicate, and safe, the message about the whale's struggle against a blind world would feel incredibly flimsy.
The medium is the message, and the message demands a resilient medium. And, you know, if we take a step back from the specific techniques we've discussed today, there is one final thought that arises from all of this.
Yeah.
Something you might want to mull over long after we wrap up today.
Absolutely. Lay it on us.
So the title of the piece is Gran Salto, Great Jump. And throughout this entire conversation, we've talked about the narrative of the whale itself making that massive leap, launching out of the water to defy physical and metaphorical gravity.
Right. The struggle of the Titan.
Right. But consider the watercolor medium itself.
Okay.
We established at the very beginning that watercolor has historically been viewed as delicate, fragile, almost timid, the medium of small, controlled, peaceful landscapes.
Yeah, the soothing river we mentioned.
Exactly. By bringing in 640-gram paper, flooding it with chaotic amounts of water, and using heavy granulating earth minerals to create a scene of massive, violent kinetic energy, the true great leap here might actually be the medium of watercolor itself.
Oh, wow.
Duke has forced watercolor to violently break free of its traditional fragile boundaries. He has allowed the medium itself to become as untamed, heavy, and powerful as nature.
That is wild.
In a way, the paint is making the jump just as much as the whale is.
That is a phenomenal way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The medium breaking its own historical limits to advocate for the natural world. It completely changes how you look at the surface of that paper.
It really does.
Because as we said at the very beginning, when you look at this artwork, you are not looking at a gentle, safe, delicate painting. You are looking at a battleground of physics and emotion.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Gran Salto. We highly encourage you to seek out this incredible artwork for yourself.
Definitely go find it.
Pull it up on your screen. Look closely at the textures and see which side of the equation strikes you first. The raw, urgent emotion of a giant breaking the surface, or the impossible technical mastery holding it all together.